we were talking about on set, yeah. You know, with regards to the idea of like purposefulness and what yeah. you do and how you approach it through your work and your life yeah. and, you know, like just, you can just sort of run off of that and whatever yeah. you feel like is very, you know, just whatever's on like your sort of stream of consciousness right now. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing because I'm actually having that kind of day when it's all in me today, you know, that
okay.
whole energy is in me today. But it's like, I don't know. I guess what we were saying about when it comes to purpose and what you're meant to, I feel like just embodying everything that I am in that one moment mm-hmm. is like such a big thing for me. And it's like such a, it's like a small, it's like, it sounds like a small thing, but it's like, I just think it's so big, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to be honest to who you are in that moment. And it changes. It changes all the time. I'm constantly changing. Like right now I'm talking to you, I'm in this mood. I don't know what might happen in the next time, but if someone approaches me, I will act accordingly to how I feel. Do you mm-hmm. see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will always be, I was just talking about it with my friends and I was just saying, you know, because I had a bit of a go because I was talking to this guy who was working on the door, like old guy, he was working on the door, like the lobby.
Uh-huh.
And he told me he'd been working, he asked me what I do, and I said, well, obviously I'm going to a casting. So I was like, you know, I'm a model, I'm going to a casting upstairs. He kind of looked at me, you know, with judging eyes or whatever, and he said, you know, I've been working here for 12 years, you know, like,
yeah.
And before I was working here, this, and I was thinking, do you know what, I think there's such a big disconnect, but I don't appreciate that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate being looked at like I'm naive by older
right.
people with like older mentality. And there's a come to a point where it's just like, yo, this is a new world. Like, I don't agree, and I don't adhere, and I don't fit in to the way the world used to work.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't fit into that. And I know right now everything's transition period,
mm-hmm.
and in the future we're gonna like, you know, did I tell you about that pimple analogy that I came up with?
No, well, yeah, I think you did, but why don't you talk yeah. about it again? Yeah.
Well, there's that pimple analogy that I came up with. You know, the 3 a.m. in the morning thing when you're having chats with your friends.
Yeah.
And it was during you know, Donald Trump. It was like during the election. And I knew Donald Trump was going to win. I just knew it.
Right.
You know, it was just something in me. I just knew he was going to win.
Right.
And, you know, when I explained it, it wasn't that I wanted him to win, but it was necessary that he had to win. Why? Because this world, this whole America is like the picture for... Can you hear me, by the way? It's quite windy.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. America's like the picture for the whole Western world. It's like the leader,
uh-huh.
you know, of the world. And it, everything is just all this whole society in my eyes is just built on at the cost of another person,
mm-hmm.
of another person's life,
and right.
everything seems to be ideals on top of ideal that most people can't live up to, and when they do, they're not happy. They're still not happy.
Right.
And I just thought that it was about time that the dirt was brought up to the surface. So I said Donald Trump is the pimple. If he
right.
wins, that pimple is popped,
right.
and the pus is going to come out, and it's oozing out, and we're all getting all the dirt that's just oozing out from that, you know, that pimple.
Right. Yeah.
And Hillary would be the pimple on your face for the next 4 years.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I totally know. It's just sort of prolonging the inevitable,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. Yeah, you sort of need to go through some ugliness in order to get through the other side.
Always. I'm such a strong believer in that, because it's just, it's like, that's literally been the story of my life. Like, I honestly feel like I've lived like 500 lives in 23 years.
Why do you say that? Can you give me in a very condensed version the story of your life? Like, why do you say that?
Well, yeah, because, you know, when I came to London... You know, my family's refugee, Ethiopia. I was born in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was in transition period from Ethiopia to Kenya, where she had my older brother, to Saudi Arabia. What is that noise? Oh, there's a bloody stage behind me. I'm going to move. she went to to Saudi Arabia, where I was born, and then we came to London.
Uh-huh.
And from... So, that already is one line. Then when we got to London, it was this whole thing of claiming asylum, trying to find a place to live, going from different blocks to different blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, my father's Muslim, and I grew up Muslim, but it was a different, I actually love Islam, but his Islam was different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't fit into that. So me and him would always butt heads on me being a girl.
Right.
You know, like me and my mum had rules. My brothers were left to their own devices. They could do what they want to do. But
right.
The moment I hit puberty, I was a woman in his eyes. And in that sense, and I got my own character. So I became very defiant in what I thought I wanted to do, because I'm also growing up in London.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm free. So how are you going to come home and tell me that I'm not, you know?
Yeah. It's like reconciling that. Those old traditions that,
yeah.
You know, he's living in one world, but you're living in another world, and it's trying to reconcile those two worlds.
And, you know, my home life was a lot like that. It was like a balance of like, okay, we're in London now. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now we can get an education.
Yeah.
But culture-wise, when I come home, it's like there's a whole clashing of ideals and what I'm being taught at school and what I feel naturally in my actual body, in my spirit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, which is a very common, you know, sort of theme for these first generation, you know, kids who come with their immigrant parents and, trying to figure out where they belong, in which world, what community, what culture are they supposed to actually...
Yeah, completely, and I think it's one of those things that the older I got, the more I was very, I could float, I was very much in my own spirit, but I wasn't comfortable with that, you know.
Right.
Like I knew it was there. Mm-hmm. Like I knew that there was this soul inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, whatever it was, but I wasn't comfortable with it, so I was always resisting, and I always used to fight and just fight everyone and everything, but you know what I mean. And then it got to a point when I was 19 there was a whole university thing, and I was meant to go, and I was going to study math and philosophy. And before that, I was thinking, oh, maybe I want to be a doctor. Maybe I want to be an architect. Maybe I want to do this. But really, none of that I genuinely probably didn't want to do.
Right.
But it was just something that I was being forced. Like, you have to make your decision right now.
Right.
Like, if you don't make your decision right now, you're going to, whatever, you know, you're going to be poor. You have to do something that, you know, you're going to make money from. But it just never worked. I just definitely didn't see it, and I went to university for 2 months, and then I dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, this, I honestly, I know I don't want this. I need to just like get out of it. So I left, and then I just thought, okay, I'm gonna get a job. And when I got three jobs, one is a supermarket assistant, and then two is the waitress.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was doing that, I guess I kind of just focused on that just to make money, and like kind of saw where anything would come.
Mm-hmm.
And then modeling came.
And did you seek it out, or did it come to you?
Oh, it came to me.
Okay.
Definitely came to me. I never thought about it before. It came to me. And when it came to my door, I actually didn't think I could do it. I gave it a month before I actually went into an agency, because I actually got sacked from my supermarket job. So I was like, no, let me just, like, this is annoying. I need to just, let me just go try this thing.
Right.
And I went, and they signed me on the spot. And from that moment on, I can say, like, that, how I was 19.
Yeah.
Like, my whole, it sounds cheesy, but spiritual awakening happened from that time. That's when I started art out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
And it was a hobby, and I just got obsessive. I get obsessive with stuff if I really like it. So I got obsessive, and I'd start doing that every day. And then modeling was a bit of a battle in the beginning. I didn't know what it meant, but everyone seemed to have an idea about what it was.
Right.
And I was, you know, I was doing the job and being like, this is not what it is, though. And, you know, it's like you're like battling people's perceptions of you. You know, I didn't, if someone meets you and say, what do you do? You know, I never used to say model, because you instantly, they'd either like think you're stupid, or they'd like try and like be your friend, but totally on the basis that you're a model. And I didn't like that either.
So what did you think it was?
What, modeling?
Yeah, because you said you had a different idea of what.
Oh, like most people, you know, you see that Naomi Campbell, supermodels, you think they're rich, they get everything.
Okay.
You, like, instantly make money, you know, yeah. They're glamorous, they're these beautiful women that can, like, I don't know, you know, eventually just be loaded, like, really rich and happy. Right.
So you had an idea, it was that idea of what you thought it should be, but it wasn't living up to those sort of
fantasies. No, it definitely wasn't. Yeah. It still doesn't live up to that. In fact, all of that I've seen all of the people that I've looked up to, and I know what it is. They're human.
Right.
They're just humans. And, like, even in someone's heyday, like, in someone's peak time, it doesn't matter. That it will die down, and then what do you have left? Yourself, you know,
right.
Like.
Right.
And I came to that conclusion, and I had a lot of family stuff that was happening when I was 19, so I had to learn. I just basically had to learn that in those moments where I'm, in those moments when no one is with me, and all I have is myself,
yeah.
Right? That needs to be someone I like,
right.
And like someone that I've messed with and I admire and like I want to like. You know what I mean? And I definitely think I feel like this sentiment is so common. I remember trying to tell you, I was like, this sentiment is so common uh-huh. with young people because. Right. Honestly, every single person that I have come into contact with that are my friends,
yeah.
These are the conversations we have.
Right.
We are all clued up. Just believe me when I say young people are clued up. Like if someone says, oh, you're such an old, like, oh my, how old are you? 23. God, you're so wise. No, this is what a being is. This is what human, do you know what I mean? Like, this is what a human is meant to be, you know? Like,
well, I think because I think what people are seeing of younger generation is such a diluted, dumbed down version or idea of what they're supposed to do, and their expectations are very low these days. But there are exactly. very conscious and aware.
But you have to understand who's controlling those narratives, though. Like, right. Where do you see all these young people? Who is pushing these young people in?
Yeah.
Where are you seeing them? Like, what outlet are you? Who is yeah. running that outlet that you see them in? You know, yeah. like behind, like obviously you can cut this name out, but like an Ariana Grande yeah. character, right? Yeah. Who is the team behind her that's pushing that? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
a bunch of older people. You yeah. know, older right. people, that old man in suit, and you know he's pushing that down your throat, so then she becomes a spokesperson for young people, and everyone's like, oh my God, what are kids listening to?
Right.
You know, it doesn't take just one person.
Right.
You know, she's just the face, she's just the puppet, but there's a whole yeah. team of people that are creating that image for everyone to see.
Right.
But when you come face to face, obviously there's some people that are just, I guess they haven't been exposed mm-hmm. to like a lot, like to things, you know,
yes.
like, I don't know, the middle of nowhere or something. Will they watch his TV? And, you know, that's, you know, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there's not.
Well, they haven't really lived much of a life. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. When it boils down to it, I just honestly believe that as a human, like what we are as human beings is so much more, right?
Right.
Then, you know, young, old, boy, girl, this, that,
right.
black, white, this,
right.
that. Like, no, it just comes to a point where you're like I said, in this moment, what I am is what I am. That's it.
Yeah, and it'll be different in the next moment. It's not about...
It'll be so different.
Yeah.
And it'll be different to in whoever's space I'm in. Like, I might click with someone, mm-hmm. and I might not. It doesn't mean that I don't like you. It just doesn't work for me, man, and I'm just
right.
not going to force it.
Right, right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, it's not about checking off boxes and sort of
no.
creating
yeah, exactly.
a formula to whatever it is you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
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 But
really
also, it's a lot about what I feel like a lot of what you're saying is about putting yourself in that sort of flow state and just being
yeah.
very open to whatever that present opportunity, situation, whatever is,
yeah.
and sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to my brother the other day. We have these, he's another person I love talking
mm-hmm.
to. He's always like, he always wants to let like a deep conversation.
Right.
And we were talking about, you know, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, that Harvey Weinstein situation.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where it was like, so crazy to me because I thought everyone knew you know, everyone right. kind of knows that Hollywood is, like, dirty.
Right, you're like, what do you mean? Well, how is this even
yeah,
shocking?
Like, literally, this is, I even knew this when I was, like, 13. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not, it wasn't even in the business, but, like, you know that it's just that there's always something going on underneath.
Yeah.
You know, it's like common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny to me because we were just thinking, like, how... And you know some of the people that were coming out are shocked. I was like, how are they doing this? When are we going to just acknowledge that, like... I don't know, there's, like, a second language. Like, just on basic emotional intelligence. Like, mm-hmm. your life. We all knew this existed.
Right.
So can we be... When can we get to a point where, like, when I talk to someone, you're... There's that, like, space between words, right? Which is, what is the actual truth? And then there's words. So someone's getting, you know, a public apology when they talk about public apology.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? He doesn't mean it. Like,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
What does that even, just because you said sorry? What? I don't understand. Like,
right.
can we, like, use our emotional intelligence? Can we use our intuition? Can we please trust it? Because
right.
we know it's there, like. That's how I work. That's how I was trying to say.
Right,
like a
right.
lot of the people I know work, and it's just I just think I'm honestly so happy to be part of this generation. I'm so happy. I'm happy like to be a millennial.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You're obviously a very intuitive, aware,
yeah,
conscious
gotcha.
Person.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile that? Person that you are with living, working in this industry that, I mean, as much as we both love it and have gotten certain level of success
yeah.
from it, you know, it's based largely on superficial, shallow things.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile those two different worlds? And are you a different person when you're in that world of style and fashion and modeling, or do you feel like you can really bring the real you to that?
I think that the way, I mean, when I first started, it was really hard,
mm-hmm.
especially because this the pace at which the world's changing in at least in like the past 2 years or year as well, like this year, the
yeah.
past year,
yeah.
like wasn't happening, so I didn't know if I saw hope, you know?
Right.
But the way now it's way easier because I know this is why I'm here. Like, I fit into the future. That's it. I know it. Like, you know what I mean? So I walk in with a bit. I know myself a bit better. And I
yeah.
also know that when the people that I'm working with, if they choose to work with me, I also don't have no, I don't care. Like, I honestly don't care if they don't.
Right.
If I didn't book a job, I didn't book a job. It's fine. You know,
yeah.
millions of other jobs. It doesn't affect. But the ones I do work with, like, I just know that the power, it really is in, not me as per se, but, like, my youth power, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of the time if they book me, you know, it will be based on the fact that I'm doing art or the
right.
fact that I'm doing, or, like, they look at my Instagram and they see my network of friends who are also doing amazing
mm-hmm.
things. And, you know, they, like... that kind of stuff because they just clock that make the future is in the youth's hands. Like they just clock it. The power has shifted, you know. You see all these models like speaking out about the things that they've gone through. And you know, they have a voice now.
Right.
Models are human beings. That's what I mean. When I see all the people that I used to like watch in magazines, they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person is a human, you know?
So you feel
you
like
into their space and you can feel their energy as
right.
a human. I genuinely, that has been one person who I've been like starstruck around.
Right.
You
so
know?
Do you feel like, I mean, fashion is notorious for not treating models like humans. Do you feel
yeah.
like we've turned a new sort of chapter and you said you're being booked for who you are as a person? It's beyond your physical beauty. Do you feel like that really is like a moment that's happening right now and there's a real
no I think it's in the well I don't know I don't want to say no because maybe not no but
right
it's I think it's in the everyone can see that that's what's going to happen. They're not
uh-huh.
doing it now though. I don't
okay.
think I think things right now are quite like a bit false. I think they're a bit false right now. I think it's still about money, so I guess if activism sells, mm-hmm. then I'ma just pretend, you know?
Right.
Aloe Weir does, the reason I'm booking Aloe Weir is because she does art, and it's not because I like it or because I care, but it's because it sells. So,
right.
You know, I still think it's in that stage where it's like...
You think it's still lacking in authenticity to it?
Authenticity, yeah. Because I really do. I really do. And it's not only fashion. It's like everywhere. It's like Hollywood films. I don't watch them. I think they're shit. I much prefer to watch an independent film.
Right.
You know, I think with music as well, you know, mainstream chart music is shit. I'd much prefer to find my own music, you know, going through whatever I like, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the same as art. Like, I don't care if you tell me that person is the next big artist. I don't like that. I'd rather find my own, you know?
It's about finding your own way.
Find your own way, yeah. I believe, and it's hard. I'm not always, I don't know what the word is. Like, sometimes it can be really hard to be in a place where to be yourself is actually, like, everyone's kind of judging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially as a model, like, you're standing there with so many other models around you, and you do, and sometimes I do look at myself and I'm like skin deep, you know.
I do
it a lot, you know. I still
it would be impossible. You wouldn't be human if you didn't.
Oh yeah, of course, like no doubt. But at the same time, my only difference is how I approach it now,
right?
And as opposed to when I first started, is that I know this moment will pass.
Yeah.
You know. Like, I just know it won't last forever, and I don't have to think about myself like that forever. You know, I can go home and, like, just regroup.
You're in control. You're putting yourself in control of the outcome.
Yeah.
And so you're going to allow that experience to affect you however you want it to affect you, positive or negative.
Completely.
Yeah, and of course, it's such a, I think that's such a huge prevalent message right now, too, because, and that goes for everybody, because now we're seeing everyone's lives, we're privy to everything that everybody else is doing, and it's impossible not to constantly be comparing yourself and your success to other people's
success. It takes a lot of you know, social media, all of that kind of stuff. It has just been an inspired size. I didn't have it for like 2 years. I had a stalker situation.
Oh.
I got really, really deep. Like,
okay.
Really horrible. So I got off social media.
Yeah.
I mean, she deleted it. It was a girl. She deleted it. I had never met her, but she deleted it for me. I mean, she'd hack into it and delete it.
Oh, wow.
So I just got to a point where I was like, okay, well, cool, fine.
Right.
I'm off it. Like,
right.
I won't, you know what I mean? I'm off it.
Yeah.
So I didn't have it for 2 years. And when I decided that, okay, cool, I'm not even going to try and get it back, because I've tried, she's done it a lot of times, and I got it back, and then she deleted it. A weight was lifted off my shoulders, but, like, I didn't even know it was there. I had no idea it was there.
And, that's interesting.
And I didn't have it for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you just suddenly realize, I think that's where I realized that I'm just like a multifaceted being. Like, you know, like, so sometimes I want to be bougie as hell, and I want to dress like flipping nice and put on a dress on heels and put on makeup and make my hair look nice and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't. And maybe sometimes, you know, because on Instagram, you're like, you're very much boxed into one type of person.
Well,
you know,
I guess it's like, the idea of whatever you want everyone to think that you are.
Yeah, you just curate how you're, like, perceived by the world.
Yeah.
Without even caring about what you actually are, you know?
But it also, I think what it does is it makes you think before you put yourself out there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes you sit there and actually go, oh, well, do I look... What is this saying? What is this message? What is the message with this? Is this how I want people to see me, instead of actually just sort of like spontaneously just being yourself?
Doing it. Yeah. Yes. And that's the thing, especially with me. I'm such a spontaneous person. Like, everything I do, like even my art, I can't plan it.
Right.
Like I've never planned it. I just can't, because it comes to me in the moment, and then I draw, and then I read it, you know, analyze it afterwards.
Right.
You know, same with, I just started to like learn to make music on GarageBand.
Yeah.
I just had this urge. And I just would learn, and it was spontaneous, and then I wouldn't make it for, like, 2 weeks, and then I'd make something would come to me, and I'd make it, and then
right.
it just started to roll. Like, if I ever got a tattoo or a piercing, everything was spontaneous. How I feel is spontaneous.
Right.
So
right.
Instagram was such a, I didn't realize it was such a battle.
Right.
Like, it was, even now, I had to get it back. I got it back for art purposes, for work, you know, everyone's on Instagram, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I went back on it, but with a different head. Like, if you get me, you get me. If you don't, you don't. I'm not for you. You know?
Right. You're living life for yourself.
Yeah, if you think I'm vain, if you think I'm, whatever you think I am from getting it from my Instagram, that's cool. That's your perception of yourself because you judge yourself that way. But me, you come into my space, I'm a human being. Like, you know what I mean? I'm very genuine. I'm very honest about who I am to people. And I put no weight in other people's hands to, you know, like...
Decide who you are.
To decide who I am. No,
yeah.
I just don't be in my space then.
Right, right.
And it's fine. Like, not on no beef thing, not nothing. Just simply just... That's fine.
Yeah.
Do you...
Yeah.
You do.
Right. No, I love that. I love what you're talking about, the idea of, like, perception and stuff. So let's talk about your art a little bit and how that, you know, plays into your work as a model. Does it or not? Is it, you know, what does it do for you? Do you feel like it adds purpose to your life?
Yeah. My art, I think, is So the question of if it works with me being a model, I'd say the business side of it does. Then only the business side of it. So when it comes to the actual creative bit of it, they're two separate things for me. They don't really collide, you know?
Right. So the modeling lets you sort of like market your art or like...
The modeling also, that as well. But I guess the platform, because the great thing about fashion that I actually really like and appreciate and I'm grateful for is the fact that a lot of it's not only, you know, models and designers. You know, there's photographers, there's lighting people, there's people who do art on the side as well. There's musicians. It's like everyone in the creative community somehow, shape or form is probably involved in fashion as well.
Yeah.
So I've met some really cool people off of it, and so I have a platform. And also, it's a great job to have to make money, so I don't even have to worry about money when it comes to art. So I don't have to... Right now, I don't worry about making money off of my art, which means I'm not hopping at every chance for someone to... You know, for anything, to sell it.
Yeah.
So it's I'm super grateful for that. In regards to what was the other question?
I mean, you can just talk about it. You know, just the idea of, you know, what it does for you and how it plays off of your day job and.
What it does for me, I'd say, is it. I think it's in a. It's so hard. When it comes to my art, I'm so bad.
You're speechless.
But yeah, no, I really am because I'm so bad at like artistic. I care so much about getting what it means to me out.
Yeah.
It means so much. Like, it's literally taught me so much. Everything about my spirit has come from my own art. Like,
well, that's amazing.
Like I said, it's fun. Yeah, for real. Like, I look at it, and like I said, I do it on impulse, and then I sit there and I read it, you know, like analyze it afterwards, and it makes sense to me in like the most, and like to my life and to what I think life is in like a nutshell.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that like, it's like my purpose, and I know it's my purpose, you know?
Right, yeah.
It really hits home with like all my peers and like, I don't know, people that just want something real from life. They're just like, all of us can just be sitting there and just like, my friends do it, like we just sitting there ask like, what does this mean? And I'm like, I don't know, you tell me, and then we get into it. It's like, you know, and it's such a good way to,
that is the beauty of it, isn't it, is that everyone can see what they want to see.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to also see what they hear, what they see from it, and we go into a conversation. And I think it's also part of me is like, I don't think it's coming from me, and because I believe in imagine like if the world was like Harry Potter, I would be believing that shit was real. Like,
so you think there's like another force coming through you? There's a different
I know there is.
So when you do your art, it's like not even you. It's like an out of body experience.
Or maybe it's my soul, or it's got something to do with my spirit guides, or my something like because it's being channeled. You know?
Right.
Totally. I'm not aware. Like, it's like I'm in a meditative state where the pen moves.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's like a transcendental. It's a transcendental state.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is to me. I start with the head. Always, and then my pen literally just goes on, and I put music on, and I just flow, and I'm done. And it doesn't take me long to finish it, like a piece. It doesn't take me long at all. I can get like a piece on a canvas. It will take longer, but like one of my sketches will be like 2 minutes. Like,
so what's so your short, what's your preferred medium? Are you draw mostly, or
I don't have a preferred medium. It's like the same energy, different medium. So
okay.
Mostly sketchbook, because it's just there.
Yeah.
Canvas, graffiti. I make videos. I make the music to go with the videos. I like create little mini movies.
Yeah.
Like just create my own world, like a little.
You do mini movies?
Yeah, I make like do my sketches or make draw painting.
Yeah.
And then I animate it, and then I do loads of them, and I just put them in clips. Like.
Oh, music, that's super cool. Can you send me one? Where can I see one?
Of course, I can send you.
Okay.
When I get it off my laptop.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like to create like a little world.
Awesome.
That I'm telling you, I know exists, because aliens do exist too.
I love
it. But I know these people are here somewhere.
Yeah, you're all about the supernatural.
I'm so like, I'm a Cancer. Like, I trust it so hard. Like.
Okay, cool. So, do you have what's your ambition for yourself, for your art, for modeling? Like, what are you hoping to achieve, or do you not even like go there? Do you just so live in the moment?
Yeah, I really don't go there, because if I like, it's just one of those things. All I can say is that I hope. One thing I would love, obviously, I have like loads of little mini things I would love to do, like you know, just little mini things, but it's not ambitious. But I guess to just get to a place where I'm like always aligned, like you know what I mean? That's it.
Do you think because that exists? Happens, do you think you can go there?
Repeat that?
Do you think that that's possible, like to be in a place where you're always aligned?
Yeah, I think there's people that are like that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Huh.
I think anything's possible.
Okay.
I honestly think anything is possible. So if I want, I just, or at least just be at total peace.
Mm.
With who I am and what I am.
That is just, wouldn't that be the ultimate luxury? That is like what.
Yeah.
That there's nothing beyond.
But it shouldn't
beyond.
Be a luxury.
It shouldn't, but. It shouldn't
be a luxury, you know?
I know.
The only thing that we say is luxury is like, how, you know, like even like food.
Yeah.
Good food
is a luxury.
Why is that a luxury?
Time is a luxury.
Time is a luxury. Why are these things? Why is something that comes out of the ground for free?
Yeah.
And that is untainted, organic, whatever, GMO free.
Yeah.
Why is that a luxury? And the things that you make in a placement factory is like normal.
Yeah. Well, my dear, that's a whole other conversation that we could get into. But. I completely agree with you, but yeah, I mean, obviously it's all about perspective, right? And priority and, but I mean, that's also the goal of what we're trying to do here, you know, with purpose and perspective. It's not about, I don't want to like shit on the fashion industry or anything like that, but I just want people to like rethink what it means, you know, that go back to a place where it is about self-expression, and that you know, and to just make these very purposeful decisions when it comes to the stuff that they surround themselves with, whether it's clothes or, you know, beautiful objects in their home or whatever. But yeah, it's interesting. And also the idea of, like, yeah, time and peace and alignment and all that, that is the ultimate luxury. That's what I think everyone would love, but they don't even know that that's what they want, a lot of them.
The thing is with, like the fashion industry, just like any other industry, because even me, like, one time I had a little tiff with a hairstylist who was mm-hmm. really disrespectful about my hair texture on set. And I bit back. I had no qualms about biting back. Like, I just thought he was rude, and in the moment I just bit back. Like, I told him what it was and was, you know, whatever. Anyways, I remember I went back to my agency, and they sat me down. And obviously, as an agency, they, you know, worry about their clients and what their clients might think.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. And they sat down and told me, you know, you need to be a bit more humble.
Mm.
And then I sat there and I was like, sorry, like, okay. And then it got me, I remember saying, like, I don't know what your definition of humble is.
But, right.
Like, but it's humble to me is never used as a good way. Humble to me, when someone tells me be humble,
mm-hmm.
that means either know your place.
Right.
Shut up. Or, what's another one? Shut up, know your place, or just, like, don't talk. Like, be a pushover.
Right.
You know? And I was just sitting there, like, there's so... So the thing is with the fashion industry, they have all these words that they like to, you know, throw about, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I know, I don't want to shit on the fashion industry, but the fashion industry needs to be shat on. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's ridiculous. They just like Hollywood.
Right.
Just like banking, mm-hmm. like bankers, like mm-hmm. finance, just like the economy. They need to be shat on. It's not the art I'm shitting on. Like, the art of it is beautiful, and it's not the people that do things.
It's the behavior.
It's the behavior. It's the fact that they have no regulations, no rules, and no respect for human beings.
Right.
No respect.
Right.
You know, and the people that do, they don't. Then it's you're cool. You don't have to worry. You're not being shat on.
Yeah.
But they know. Like, one thing I know about fashion is that everyone in fashion knows that fashion is fucked. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't met anyone that is like, no, this is an amazing business, and they treat everyone with respect, and I just think it's, no, everyone, every job I've gone into, they all have, like, they all start with the preface of, like, oh, God, isn't this industry, like, so, you know? Like,
and
so
yet they're still in it. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, but it's more so the fact that, like, we're in it for money. I'm in it for money. Like, it's a job at the end of the day. Like, we're still in transition period. I can't, I don't want to leave it. Like, this new world that we're building isn't here yet. I'm dealing with this reality. You know what I mean? I'm not going to leave it. But, you know, call me a hypocrite, call me whatever, but it is what it is. And I'm the one walking in my two shoes. I need to buy food. And I, like, you know what I mean? I want to go on holiday. I send money home to my family. You know, I got stuff to do. But it's one of those things where, like, I don't, you know, you can't, what you're doing, I just think what you're doing is, like, it's on point, you know? And if people will pick up on it, that's what I mean. If it's meant for someone, it's meant for someone.
Yeah, and it's about creating a new narrative,
Yeah, if they're those people that treat people like shit, then I am shitting on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
I'm going in on you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. And I think it's about, it's just about creating a new narrative and having really critical conversations and actually talking about stuff that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can have, like, beautiful things that still matter. And
I love beautiful things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I love beautiful things. I love luxury shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want a luxurious life. I want to live in abundance one day.
Right.
Like.
Yeah. In full alignment.
And I want nice things.
What is your idea of abundance? Because that's actually a word. I have that word on my vision board, and it's...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't even use that word that much as well. I just literally threw that out now.
That is funny. Well, a good friend of mine is also, he's, you know, a Reiki healer and a sort of coach or whatever. So we have these conversations a lot. And he sort of put that word into my... my vocabulary, the idea of abundance, but it's never necessary. It doesn't necessarily relate materialistically. So I'm just curious, like, what your idea of abundance is.
I guess so I was just actually talking about it, like, not only in material, but just, yeah, like, if I want, like, just, no, I was talking about it in material. I want to live in abundance.
Yeah.
I want to live, like, I want to live a nice life where I can have anything I want and anything I please.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As, like, one day I want a car. One day I want my own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go on holiday. I want to take my family on holiday. I want to eat nice food. I want to, you know, go for, like, facial massages. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just nice stuff and take my family and my friends with me and give it back to people as well. Like, I like giving, you know? But the first thing I did when I ever got paid from Podlist, and I wasted that whole, it wasn't even wasted, but that whole check basically went. Yeah. When I'd invite everyone to come and eat from my neighborhood, everyone. They were coming in, and it was at this place. It was at this place that was, like, super expensive.
Yeah.
But, like, but it was for, like, burgers and shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
But it was, like, expensive as hell, but it was, like,
but I like burgers, that the,
like, normal food.
Yeah. It occurred to you to share your wealth with people.
No, of course, that's not, I'm a Cancer. I feel like that's so natural for me to do. Like, it's so natural. But, you know, that's what I mean by abundance. Like, everyone just share the beauty of life, because every single person deserves nice things. I'm never ashamed to say I want to be rich. I want to be rich.
Right.
I'm not ashamed. You know what I mean? I want to be rich.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of that. Like, you know, it's not. Now, what I'll do with the money depends on the person. That depends on the person.
Right.
So naturally, me, I've been giving since I started making money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something I like to do.
You've been paying it forward. Feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just in my nature. But then there might be someone else who doesn't give when they're rich, you know? And then you can call that person greedy and you can tell them, life's not all about money.
Yeah.
I know that. But, you know, I'm telling you, you know, when you have money, I've had no money, and no money is no freedom. I'm telling you. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, yes.
Having no money is, like, the worst thing in the world. You cannot do shit in this world. You can't.
Yeah, money, it's not about buying stuff. It's about buying freedom.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we have to buy our freedom. Like, money actually is one of those. Having money is one of the most freeing. When I know I have money in my bank account, like, my mood, my whole mood changes. Like, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, for sure, it's a very emotional thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, well, this is so much to think about and work with. You've been a fountain of inspiration and information.
You're so easy to talk to. I was so excited for that.
That was great. So I'm gonna send you that email. I mean, I think we talked about everything already, but just in case.
Yeah.
And then I want to explore, like, how we can incorporate your art onto the platform. So, like I was saying, I don't know if it's a matter of, you know, I'd like to create a connection with the story of Monique and her sustainable jewelry. So I don't know if it's like you looking at it and doing something that is inspired from that or not, you know. It could just be an original piece.
Wait, what do you mean, like, draw on top of it? Like,
you don't need to draw on top of it. I mean, even just, like, looking at it and, like, reading
what comes to mind.
Yeah, reading what she's about.
I'd love to do that.
Because, you know, she's got a very interesting and she just has a great story, and it's, you know, she really walks the walk when she talks about sustainability and working with all of these communities from all these amazing places all over the world, and, you know, giving back in that sense. So I just feel like it would be something that would resonate with you. And but we'll explore whatever that is.
Send me the link for that.
I will, and you can read about it. And then we can just figure out what feels right.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
I support this project.
Well, you inspired an idea. I think we should have, because you keep saying that this is what you talk about with your friends. I'm like, we should do, like, a round table of, you know.
We've been wanting to do that for ages.
Yeah, and we should document it.
We should, like, a podcast or something.
We should videotape it.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely, if you're down to that, I'd definitely sell the idea to them.
Are you kidding? I would love to have that. I mean, yeah, the beauty is.
Yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. My friends are honestly, like, my freaking backbone. Like, they just be inspiring me. I just know. That's why I say, like, young people got this. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like,
you know? Well, I mean, you obviously have, like, a circle of friends that are, you know, making change, yeah, and have great, yeah, voices and narratives. So, like, it would be awesome, like, to get you and Paloma and other, yeah, you know, notable, yeah, young women and or people, yeah, who've got some important things to say.
Yeah.
We should explore that idea.
Yeah, for sure. I'll, okay, definitely pitch that idea to them, too.
Awesome. Okay, we're going, right, to be in, amazing, touch. And I'll tell Paloma I was talking to you today.
All right. Thank you
so much.
All right,
my dear. Thank you so much for your time.
To talk to you.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.